Guys, welcome back to the Charles Owen Experience. God, it's good to see you.
Put
again.
It there, mate.
What's up?
What's up, bro?
Yeah.
That's a strong handshake once again.
Yeah.
Man. Big fingers.
Yeah.
Happy for you.
Massive penis as well.
Must be really good when you're, you know, jacking it. It's all proportional.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect. Guys, remember, like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, do all that. You have instructionals. We sell all that.
I got a
you
Patreon.
Yeah.
Got a Patreon. Yeah.
But you patronize people on there.
Exactly. People patronize me and they have to send me money in order to patronize me. It's fucking weird. But honestly, mate, it makes me money. So whatever, I guess. You could apply that rule to a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah, many concepts around that.
Yes. Yes. Maybe we'll do a particular piece on that.
All right.
Selling things for money.
You've been training. I've been training.
Yeah, mate.
That's it. Good. That's it, guys. Thanks for listening.
Right.
What have you been working on? Bolos?
It is my job, to be fair. Yeah, I have actually been working on connecting bolos and legs. I've been doing it a bit more consciously now. I went off the bolos for a little bit.
Oh, why did you do that?
Just because I found that at the end of bolos, it's easy for people to kick out initially from the bolos. You know, if they're initially very negative and move away, you kind of have to wrestle up anyway. And wrestling up on slippery mats is very hard. Because you slip. But now I'm connecting the bolos and leg locks. And, you know, I just feel like I'm better at the bolos now. So, you know, I'm able to stay stickier when people are spazzing out.
All right.
That's it, really. All the stuff we've been doing. Been connecting the bolos to the leg drags to the legs. The legs back to the bolos. It's fucking insane, mate.
I've seen you hit them. You hit them good.
I hit them real good. That's nice. Right. I hit young Stefan real good.
Fucking good.
I've been hitting him.
Did you get me with a bolo the other day?
Don't think so, mate. It was just mount.
Just spending a lot of time in mount at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, but you know.
Better getting.
What I realized, mate, is you do a good Turkish get up from a hip post. You'll go hip post, you'll turn away. I'll go cross face, you'll go hip post, then you do a Turkish get up. But then what I started doing is I'll go cross face, you go hip post, and I'll sneak that fucking near side underhook in. And then what? Then you'll turn around, get your elbow back in, cross hip post again, and bench press again.
I get really tired doing that. I'm just trying not to give up my back. And once you get the gift wrap, I can sometimes get the gift wrap reduced. I can sometimes get rid of it. But the energy that I'm expending to do that is very difficult.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
I find that if I went full retard, I could do it on the first one. But it's better to not go full retard and just try again and again. Get some tiredness.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're on the back against a fresh opponent. And we've all been there, fellas. Haven't we all been there, fellas?
Yeah, I've been there, fellas.
Yeah, man, fellas. And it's like really tiring. You know, they're just lying on you. They're shelling. They're defending. They've got a beard. It's haram to pull the beard. Is it? I don't know.
I've shaved the beard, mate.
Yeah, not you, but others.
If there was.
If there was a beard, it would help in defending a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It definitely would.
And you have the power of Allah on your side.
Yeah, obviously.
Which is definite bonus.
What else is new? What else is goss?
Well, gossip, mate. I don't really do that too much.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I'm just more of a man's.
Man's. More of a say it to his face kind of person.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't do that. Now, we had a flat iron, though. It was really good. Split it three ways. I enjoyed that.
Stitch crispy up with a bill.
Shout out Flat Iron for opening a place in Hammersmith. Really good burgers.
Yeah.
So, recommend that if you're, I don't know, mate. Let's do questions. But this time the questions won't be shit, right? We've narrowed them down to non-shit questions only.
Yeah, I actually got a good topic to talk about. Lots of people. Ooh. I did a post a while ago.
It's got
a lot of traction around it recently. Yeah. It's about Dagestan.
Traction, yeah.
Like a tractor.
Yeah.
Traction, moving forward, momentum, etc. Yeah. And it was a video about Dagestani wrestlers and me commenting on the video with Sid Live being like, this isn't the most effective way to train in the weight room.
And they said, who the fuck are you?
Exactly, yeah. A lot of
I
that.
I saw that.
A lot of that. Who the fuck are you? You don't know anything. What you know what you're talking about.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. The overarching concept is if you do a sport, any sport, the only way you're going to get better at that sport is by improving your skills in that sport. That is a fact. And the weight room is there to build muscle tissue, not saying that to get super big bodybuilding. Building muscle tissue just means getting stronger, improving tendons and ligaments, improving your bone health. to actually improve your strength, which is going to make you more resilient and perform better at your sport because you'll be a stronger...
And coordination, though.
Potentially, but you're not improving your coordination that much in the gym. You're just lifting
pliers.
Pliers, you could argue I'm improving coordination, but you're improving your body's ability to react under different scenarios. So proprioception, we call that.
Okay, fair.
Not necessarily coordination, because coordination of the skill, let's say a double leg takedown. This is a classic one. I want to improve my explosiveness in a double leg takedown. Most people asking this are not wrestlers, really. So good luck, first of all. It's not going to happen for you, realistically. But the skill of performing a double leg takedown explosively is going to do the setup, the hand fighting, the timing, having a good understanding of how to perform the single leg movement itself.
And yeah, the coordination, that's the main thing, isn't
it? It's the coordination of, it's everything, the hand fighting, the setup, bosh, you've got it. When you look at the highest level wrestlers or even people in your gym who do very good double leg takedowns, it's the timing of the move. They know how to do the move and they know how to set it up well. Being really explosive and really fast is certainly an attribute you need to have to do that, but it's not the overarching attribute that is going to help you do the move. So
just blasting through it may work once or twice a session. Let's say you're full retard strong and super explosive. You will be more effective, but over time you will degenerate and you will become less explosive as you get injured.
Yep.
Because you don't time and set things up properly. Then you get an equally explosive guy sprawling on your neck, which you haven't trained because you've just been doing deep jumping squats or something to improve your
explosivity.
Yeah. Whatever, and then your neck explodes instead.
Yeah. It's a whole concept. So
it's a whole thing.
When you're in the gym, be like, okay, this program, I've got pliers here. Pliers are for health benefits, to improve my proprioception of my ankles, my feet, to improve tendon elasticity, thickness of my Achilles, soleus, and make me do things fast. They will improve your speed and ability to, you know, get off the floor fast, get into deep ranges quickly with the deep tier pliers. But then when you're in the gym, you want to get stronger by lifting weights.
Being fascia driven.
Being fascia driven, like a footballer, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're stronger, you can produce more force and you'll be more powerful. That is what the gym is there for. And when you're in the gym, you just do gym movements. You don't need to mimic things that look like the sport.
Can we compare some Dagestanis that do that kind of weights training compared to normal weights training?
Yeah. So I guess like when I take that video, that's probably not the base of his training, but I bet the majority of it is.
Like who would be a Dagestani wrestler who is really good, but changed to do a normal weights program or didn't do like weird kipping dips, kipping everything?
The thing is with those fellas, like there's such a big talent pool and they're all very fucking good. And the point I was making in the video, a lot of their warm-up stuff, and we know like some of these Dagestani wrestlers, their warm-ups are including a lot of gymnastics-based movements, you know, head springs, handstand walks, like already a lot of deep-tier pliers, normal plyometrics. So they're already getting a lot of stimulus in those warm-ups, and they've been doing that for years. So they're already really relatively strong.
Good at pliers.
They're really good at pliers. They're really good at gymnastics. They're already very strong in those positions. And then they've got the technique benefit. So I haven't done too much research on some of these wrestlers, but if you look at some of the American fellas, they'll be pushing proper weights in the gym. Dave Taylor, he'll be doing sensible stuff. He's a gold medalist Olympian. He'll be doing proper weights in the gym. I've seen him deadlifting. I've seen him doing lat pull downs. I've seen him doing proper full rep chin ups, split squats, the whole shebang to full range of motion. And that's what the gym is there for. Sid Alive isn't a fantastic wrestler because he's doing those wrestling circuits, mate. He's a fantastic wrestler because he's been doing it his entire life. And if you've trained that way your entire life, if you've done all those warm-ups, you're already going to be very, very strong. For the most part, and most of the people listening to this podcast, go into the gym and just improve your general strength. That is what the gym is for, to improve general qualities like strength, power, mobility. You can do that all at once through a normal structured program. Squatting, deadlifting, single leg work, benching, pushing variations, pulling variations, and some gun work. That's it.
Gun work.
Yeah, that was it. That was the rant. That's all I wanted to say.
Right. That was a good fucking rant.
Yeah.
I feel like you really let off some steam there, Char.
Big time. I'm going to do a post about it again later. Shout out the algorithm.
All right.
Go on.
No one wants this, but let's go into the questions. But this time, we're going to go for more general questions. All right. Best jiu-jitsu gyms to train at in London?
Submission Grappling
My gym.
Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, we on the same wavelength. No, but seriously though, all right, let me break it down for you. So ideally, let's say you live in central London and you can attend all the gyms in a good way and you do gi and no gi. So I would say for gi, it's got to be Fight Zone.
Yeah, it's got to be Fight Zone.
And or GA.
Yeah, the IGA gi comp classes would... When the competition is coming up, you're going to have some good rounds in there.
Yeah, I would say RGA more because of the visitor thing, you know, the special card of the visitor, the Joker. Fight Zone, I imagine you will get more consistent, good quality rounds in the gi. Now, no gi, we have, obviously, Submission Grappling Club. That's a fantastic club. Fantastic. We have Rogers. That's also a fantastic club, just in terms of the 11 a.m. class where you'll get absolute legends of the sport coming in and billionaires. So if you want to make good connections, there are literal billionaires that show up there, mate, and you just teach them one private and you've made £1 billion or, you know, whatever.
Surgery, free surgery for life.
Then East London, we have London Grapple, we have Grapple Collective, we have... that's it, really. That's 10th Planet as well.
Yeah. That's all I know.
Yeah.
You've listed every gym I know.
Is it?
Urban Kings.
Well, I think they're gone now. They were there, but they're gone now.
They're gone.
Is there anywhere else? No. Mill Hill in North London. If you're out by Mill Hill, it's not very well connected, but neither is our gym. So, you know, there you go.
People still go.
You got to make it. Well, people go to Mill Hill, mate.
There's going to be a new gym opening up soon, and that's about it.
Oh, my. Yeah, mate, there will be, and that will be in West London. West London, that's London.
Stay peeled, that will...
Stay peeled, guys.
Yeah, eventually that will happen.
Stay peeled open, as one does.
All right, I've got a silly question here.
Oh, silly one. Yeah, oh, that's so funny. Yeah, that's quite funny.
It's an actual question, but it's the guy answered his own question. How to gain weight as someone who... Fucking hell, what's going on?
That's really loud.
How to gain weight as someone who loses around 1,500 calories from training daily? My friend, it just sounds like you need to eat in a surplus. That's it. If you're eating, first of all, I'd like to find out where you're gauging this from. Probably a Whoop strap or an Apple Watch. Most of those are fairly incorrect. However, what you need to do, my friend.
Are they actually?
Yeah. Well, they're probably getting better and better and better, but better now. There was a study a while ago where they took, They took like 60 of these straps and they were all within 20 to 80% inaccurate, which is a large range.
That is ridiculously bad. That's also inconsistently inaccurate.
Yeah.
So it's even worse. Man, they're not hearing this, but we hear this. there is a yard man outside just absolutely having the time of his life on a phone call.
He's loving it.
Anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
So yeah, eat more. Sleep more. That's it, really.
He's still there. Basically, what you need to do, mate, is if you're eating 1,500 calories, if you're in a 1,500 calorie deficit due to your training, you need to replace those calories. So what I'd recommend you do is just maybe not do 1,500 calories, but try doing 1,000 calories of extra food per day. Do that for 2 weeks. See what happens if you're trying to gain weight. If you don't gain any weight, add an extra 500 calories in. So there you go. You got your 1,500 calorie.
Yeah. More feeding sessions in the day. I find it's very hard to make up the count if you're late on the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's better to just wake up, eat large breakfast, train, eat large breakfast. I mean, eat large meal. Maybe train again, maybe not. Eat another large meal, then train again, then another large meal. And you'll be on four large meals. That will bring you to about 11:30 p.m. then if you eat another large meal at around 1 a.m., that will bring you to 5 large meals in the day. But you won't have any free time. So you'll just be eating like a little pig. You'll just be like a little troll. Yeah, like a little livestock troll.
You could do the shout out Eddie Abu and just get some more calorific foods in the evening. No, a little dessert, a bit of pizza.
Yeah, he loves that.
High calorie foods. He loves that.
Mate, if you have spare rice, make a rice pudding.
I fucking love rice pudding.
I made one yesterday, and this morning I made a fucking blueberry fool, and it was delicious. Do you even know what a fool is?
A person who's foolish.
Correct, mate. Yeah. I made one of those and I ate it. Right. Yep. What will you be covering in a triple threat camp? So there will be three of us doing it.
When is it, boss?
Fuck knows, mate. September. There'll be three of us. So me with legs or passing or something. Honestly, it'll be worth it though. Sylvie will be teaching probably passing or triangles or wrestling, or because there'll be new mats, by the way. So if you've been to the triple threat summer camp before and you found it was very slippery and maybe slightly cramped, this time your experience will be much, much improved. And let me tell you why. Santeri Lilius, shout out, 2-time trials winner, undefeated at trials, has got new mats in his gym, and he's also taken out the little MMA box thing, which was completely useless, and he's replaced it with proper fucking mats. Yeah, fantastic. We're talking no slip, no slide, unless it's like super sweaty, then I imagine you want a little bit just to, you know, just for realism. And then, so I'll probably be teaching legs realistically. That's what people want to see. Either legs or bolos to legs or just bolos or some sprawl passing. Max will be teaching, I don't know what the topic specifically will be, but he teaches the ecological approach, which is more game-based learning, which at least if you haven't done that before, it will be different, and it will also be slightly more involved than drilling, right? So it's a kind of gray area between drilling and sparring. And then Sylvie will be teaching...
You already said Sylvie, boss.
Horrible moves. Cool.
Right. I'll be there, Owen.
Will you?
When is...
Will you actually?
I do actually want to attend that.
I think it's like September 9th or something like that. Oh. I love that date. Sorry, it's the 11th.
Oh, yeah. Memorable date.
Yeah, don't forget, guys.
Memorable date.
Never forget.
Yep.
Power to the people.
I would like to come.
Cool. Do it. There's nothing stopping you. Well, yeah, here you are.
Yeah.
All right. You can come for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days.
You said everyone got pissed up last time, didn't you?
Yeah, we all can do. And... by June, the early bird prices will be done. Right, that's enough advertising.
Right, okay, cool, done.
All right, I'll do the next question then, if you're being an arsehole.
Is Whoop worth it for grapplers? No.
I've seen people wearing the Whoop boxers now instead of the armbands.
Yep.
You seen that?
Oh, no, underpants.
Inside the sphincter.
It's insertable.
It gets your blood pressure and everything.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Insert it. Past the prostate. No, yeah. Exactly.
It feels excellent.
Yeah.
So I hear.
Does it?
Yeah.
So I hear, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, if it's Ramadan, just wear the armband one.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, you can wear the...
sphincter.
Yeah.
The suppository one.
The sphincter Whoop.
Yeah. I don't wear it. I know a few people that wear it. Why do you care that much, really? I don't see why you need to worry.
It's for showing off, isn't it? It's for showing off.
I just don't see why you need to...
6 billion calories.
I just don't see now why you would need to. Some people are really data driven and they like that stuff. If that's you, that's fantastic. I'm not shitting on you, but for me personally,
oh, a little bit.
I'm just giving my opinion on it.
Yeah, which is poo.
I just don't see why you'd need to do that. I don't see the point. Why would you need to do that?
Maybe Whoop will sponsor us to stop talking shit about them. That would be nice.
Yeah. Why do you need to know?
Why do you need to know, fam? Ask another podcast. Ask Andrew Huberman.
I just don't think you need to know that kind of information. If you work hard, you work hard. That's fantastic. And look, and then you go, oh, but I want to see how many calories I burn. If you're losing weight and you're like, oh my God, I'm losing weight, then you need to just eat more calories and then figure out how many calories you're eating, plus that into a surplus of 200 to 500 calories, and you're good.
But Eddie Abu says entropy isn't real.
What?
Entropy? What's entropy? Thermodynamics and that.
What?
He says that calories in and calories out doesn't work.
Eddie Abu.
He doesn't believe in thermodynamics.
He actually does, I think. James Smith did a video and he talks about Eddie Abu's earlier videos where he's not as dogmatic and he's actually like a little bit more sensible. He's still like talking less like ideally food choices and stuff, being like, this isn't ideal, but you can eat that. And now he's more polarizing because it's obviously much more popular and it gets much more views to speak like that. So shout out Eddie Abu. If you look at some of his early videos, there's a James Smith video saying, it's James Smith going, social media has fucked us. That's the title of his video. And he talks about Eddie Abu and he shows you his earlier stuff where he's not as polarizing. And you go, ah, Eddie Abu.
That's the soft core. Wake the of fuck Eddie up. Abu.
There he is. That's what he's actually talking about.
Gentle wake up. Wake up.
Yeah, guys, wake up. Probably shouldn't do this. You could do a bit of that, but it's not the best for your health.
I mean, he did a sarcastic video like that where he had a square and he's like, yeah, you can have this sometimes. And then he'd throw it away and then go, this is all shit. Wake the fuck up. And then he'd eat, you know, a Brussels sprout.
Yeah, like 15 eggs.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah.
If you soft boil an egg, mate, you can eat 15. All right. Have you tried the Mighty Plus for the old smoking? Might be more healthy than a joint.
What's the Mighty Plus?
It's a handheld dry herb vaporizer.
I actually have tried that, yeah.
I actually had one as well, but I didn't like it as much for a couple reasons. A, doesn't get you that high.
No, it doesn't get you that high at all.
B, you get a tolerance to it very quickly because it burns it at exactly the same temperature each time. So you're getting the same profile of, you know, herbs and that. You don't get the deep retardedness that a spliff will give you. And that's what we all
would kill for. I would kick
a homeless baby in the balls for that. Do you understand?
Yeah. Pull-ups versus chin-ups. All right. Fucking hell. Pull-ups are going to be a little bit harder. You're probably going to use less biceps, a bit more of your back. Traditionally, significantly harder than chin-ups. Chin-ups, yeah. More bicep, a little bit less back. Which one's better? They're both great. Cycle them in and out of your programs. Let's say, okay, I'm going to do pull-ups for 8 weeks. Fantastic. You do that very well. Maybe add some weight to it. And if it's going well, you keep doing it. And then once that starts to stagnate or you get a bit bored of it, swap to chin-ups. That's what you should do.
What do you think about false grip pull-up?
Yeah, fantastic. Pull-ups, yeah.
Where you go like that.
Yeah, really good.
I found them very hard.
They're very difficult. Shout out our boy, difficult. Dan Strauss, holding a tennis ball in your hand as you do it. And you go, keep holding the ball.
How many reps?
I have no idea. He doesn't show.
Oh, that's weird.
Strange.
Okay.
Yeah, false grip could help you do muscle ups too.
I guess one rep is cool as well though, right?
Yeah, that's obviously.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. How much do you think a black belt can change their game? E.g. traditional gi and no gi. Or guard play or wrestling?
Depends how eager you are to change.
Yeah, if you're strict with it, you can change entirely. You can just be like, I'm never pulling guard again, like Craig Jones said. But then he did pull guard and then he lost to Pedro Mourinho. That was fucking brutal. But if you never pull guard again, then you will change your game and you will become a wrestler. And it will just become, you know, even if you're shit at wrestling, you'll find ways to, even though I'm getting taken down all the time, I'm somehow ending up on top, I'm reversing it, whatever, right? If you just say, I'm never pulling guard again, then your game will change. Wallahi.
It's going to have to, isn't it?
Well, it's already changed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just decisions. Decisions, decisions. Okay, here's one for you, Char.
Okay.
Favorite travel music?
Oh, that was it?
That was it. That's the question. I specifically asked for no retarded, neurally divergent questions, but here we are.
What I'll do if I'm on a plane, I will download Spotify, some focus music. I'll listen to some, I have...
Focus or folk? I was thinking folk, like
focus.
On the road again.
Deep focus music. It's basically just noises or like a really deep house. The reason why I like that is because
the Mile High Club wanking to Deep House in the on the short flight to Brussels.
Obviously.
Well, it's been an hour. It's fucking hell.
Getting the noise cancelling headphones on.
No, they don't work for everyone. They can still hear you flapping away.
Yeah, that's just nice if I want to try and have a sleep. If it's a long flight.
A nice wank to some deep house.
Maybe some Drake. Maybe some... I don't know. Whoever I'm listening to at the time. You? It's got to be Afro beats for you.
Now I just listen to the surround sound of The Witcher 3 or whatever game I have on my game console at
Steam
the time.
Deck. Steam Deck.
Yeah. Steam Dick. If you're
New Zealand.
If you speak like that. Steam Dick. Yeah, it's really good, mate. Honestly, get yourself some Bose noise cancelling. Normally, I just listen to babies screaming around me. But now I've got the Bose noise cancelling headphones.
Bose. Yeah. There it is. Look at them. Well done.
There they are, mate.
Must have cost you a fortune.
They actually did not. They were secondhand. I had to clean the wax out of them. It was lovely.
Peasant.
Delicious. How should you compete against bigger / stronger opponents?
Win. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I'd have thought that was obvious. So me, how I adjust my game, right? So, first of all, if they're good at moving side to side, I'll try to play seated more if they're bigger and stronger. So you're not taking their weight on your shins where it can be hard to pull your shins back in place. Secondly, I will use my feet on the hips much more when I'm playing butterfly guard. I'm just showing my legs coming up. And finally, I'll have my head slightly further forward if I'm playing a seated guard, because if they win the head position, you're much more fucked than if they're like smaller than you, right?
Because they're going to be stronger too.
Yeah, they're going to be able to pin your knees together much easier. And when they sprawl on you, that weight will turn you in ways you've never been turned. And yeah. And then tactically, I try to mix heisting, because it's hard to push and pull because they're so big. Heisting is standing up. I'll try and stand up, wait for them to react. If they don't react, I snap down or I circle to the back. If they do react, they'll make space between their butt and their heels, and I can shoot under for the legs. And when they react to the legs, I can go for the arms, and the cycle continues.
Make a little clip out of that. That was fantastic.
Wow.
I need to get the clip.
Let's just pause for a second. That was really good.
You need to get the clip of you and Sandra.
Sandy.
That'll be the perfect Sandy Hook.
Love that magical.
Does it matter if it didn't happen though?
Sorry, yeah, that's right. We saw that on the news, didn't we? It was actually Alex Jones, a fraud.
Does it matter? I hope we'll probably get defunded for this, but it's too late now. Does it matter if I have dinner?
Did he get sued for like $100 million?
Alex Jones. He should have, yeah. He went hard on that.
What, really saying it wasn't true?
Yeah, and he's calling people pedophiles. He's like, he said it was a pedophile ring. I don't know the whole extent of it. You guys in the comments, you help us out. He said like it was a whole pedophile ring.
He's the
most outrageous guy ever. It was fake.
Just going red and fucking
alcoholic. He attacked people. He went crazy about it. Poor parents. Imagine.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah. Alex Jones.
You don't believe it happened.
I have reservations. He seems like a together guy.
He seems like a logical person.
He seems like, you know,
he just goes red and spits everywhere.
He's got loads of guns.
Can we just acknowledge how fucking stupid and how funny when Donald Trump did that massive, he had that massive stage when the Congress got raided. After he got kicked out, he held a thing and goes, "We're going to raid congressmen." How did that actually, how was that allowed to happen? Do you remember that?
No.
He held this huge event like
in Washington.
I know that
Congress got raided or whatever.
Yeah, because of him. He was stirring hundreds of thousands of people up, being like, "We're going to go in. I'm going to be there with you."
I think he'll just say anything. And
yeah,
like,
he just did. Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! And enough people were just like...
So outrageous. He's coming back.
He's almost the president. It can't be stupid.
DT will come back. He'll be back.
Double penetration.
Right. Okay. I'll go. Does it matter?
Okay, you go, Charles. Hold on. Go.
Does it matter if I have dinner before or after my BJJ sesh?
What an asshole.
If my BJJ sesh is 8 to 10 p.m., well, that's going to be a late dinner. I don't know, man. It depends how early you have to wake up in the morning.
I would have dinner before, and then when you get back, make sure to have a thick dessert, I would say, because otherwise you'd be starving, mate.
Oh, God, I'd be hungry.
I'd be so hungry.
I did a post on this recently. Go to my Instagram and you see evening training protocols. Go to that right now. And it's going to tell you the difference between quick absorbing carbohydrates and slow absorbing carbohydrates. Speaking to my good friend, Ian Perkins, who is a sports nutritionist at the King's College. No, he didn't go to King's College.
He sends me loads of videos of people breaking their legs.
He does to me too, yeah.
Nice.
He's a professional nutritionist, a dietitian, etc., etc.
King's College London.
Yeah.
Kings never die.
I don't think he did, but he works for professional rugby teams. Anyway, get to the fucking point. He was telling me that, you know, it's better get the fucking point. In the evenings, especially as you're trying to sleep, your blood sugars, you don't want to elevate or spike your blood sugar too much, because that is what's going to not necessarily stop you going to sleep, but it's going to wake you up more so in the middle of the night, which is going to disrupt your sleep.
When you say the middle of the night, do you mean like 4 a.m. or do you mean like...
The middle of your sleep cycle is probably more accurate.
But the sleep cycle is very short.
Yeah, it could be like, let's say you go, you just fall asleep, and then maybe like 3 or 4 hours later, you just wake up.
Well, that never happens, but I tend to wake up a bit before my alarm, and then the last 2 or 3 hours are a bit shitty.
Yeah, me too. That, like, if you do have particularly raised blood sugar levels, that could be why. So you might benefit from having more slow absorbing carbohydrates and more fibrous meals to help slow down.
More rice pudding, are you telling me?
No, that would be more quick absorbing carbohydrates.
More.
Because of white rice in it.
Fucking brown rice. Wild rice. Black wild rice.
Yeah, correct. That could be better. Correct. That's correct.
Recognition.
Yeah, so check out that post, because quick absorb. But again, I've also had excellent quality sleeps after having some quick absorbing carbohydrates. So it's going to be different. It's subjective to the individual. I guess how you feel. But
it's really good when there's an alarm next to you that goes off every 10 minutes for like 2 hours as well. You ever get that?
Snoozing.
You wake up second. Yeah. You're not snoozing it. Someone else right next to you is snoozing it.
Is your missus a big snoozer?
She loves to snooze.
For 2 hours?
For an hour.
That's insane.
An hour. And it will go and then bang, it will stop instantly.
Yeah.
But it'll be enough.
Yeah,
every 10 minutes.
That would drive me crazy. I'm a snoozer to me.
I don't snooze. I just get up. When the alarm goes at 10 a.m., I'm up.
That's
like
because you're
bolt.
A stoic, disciplined man.
I'm a fucking, yeah. Anyway, unless I'm tired, then I'll just miss everything. And I'll just, everything's just upside down.
Yeah.
All right. Chaos. Favorite instructional at the moment. Right now, I'm rewatching Gordon Ryan Passing 2.0.
Oh.
It's the one where he goes around the outside, around the outside, around the outside. And yeah, that's it. He looks at Toriando's, gay point, J point, side control, half guard,
God.
Trying to beat the frames when people are pushing into you. Oh. And that's it.
Is it called Gordon Ryan? J-point passing 2.0.
It's just called Gordon Ryan.
Passes guards. Attack the guard pass.
Attacking the guard.
What's it actually called?
Gordon Ryan 2.0 guard passing.
Right. That's the one. I'm going to get that.
Something like that.
I'll get that and I'll never
get that. Or
ever watch it.
Yasson Rao has just, I hope I'm saying that right, has just uploaded a, what's it called?
Yasson.
Yeah, his own outside passing instructional. And it might be slightly more up to date. You know, it might be more concise. But you know, with the Gordon one, that you're getting details from the source, from John.
John?
John.
Right. All right. I'm going to quickly indulge in this question. What's the difference between your 4-week template program and your Matt Strong program? The Matt Strong program is a subscription program. That's where I'm constantly changing. I'm changing the program every 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, you're constantly changing it, man.
Oh, God, it's constantly changing. Mm. And that's going to keep you more up to date with different scenarios of plyos, different rep schemes, etc., etc. Well, no, I can't really say etc. because I haven't explained it too well. Different rep schemes and a variety of exercises. What I've done on the 4-week program, you'll have... sharp plus plyos, my take on weeks 1 to 4 for speed and power plyometrics, potentially 3 times a week. If you want to train 3 times a week, you'll have mobility in there and you'll just have a strength program to follow for 4 weeks and then it'll be completed. And then that's it. You've got the program forever, but it won't be changing. So you'll just have that 4 week block. There you go. You've got it. Whereas it won't be changing every 4 to 8 weeks. Realistically, you could follow that block for 16 weeks, probably more, and still get really good gains if you're relatively new to strength training. Then over time, you may get bored with it, and that's when you could jump on the Matt Strong program to get a bit more variety into your training.
There you go. Become a master of all trades.
Of all trades.
Okay, my last question, and it leads on nicely from the outside passing
all
question.
All right.
How good actually is Joseph? Very good.
Chen?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, very good. The passing was excellent, mate. He is very good at staying in the J point, returning to the J point. Not only that, but good at doing it both sides. He has very good hip mobility. What else? Yeah, he's got very good hip mobility. So he's able to high step out of positions very easily.
He loves a high step,
mate. He's extremely good at dodging the lasso with his head position. He goes down with his head and then he presses forward and then he goes down with his head. And mate, it is exhausting. You cannot let him play or else you will get fucked. He's also very good at balancing. So like if you get him in positions where you're trying to off balance him, rock him forwards and backwards, if you're not good at combining different off balances, you're going to have a very tough time off balancing him in just 2 linear directions. I.e. if you just go try and go back and forth, it's very difficult. You need to combine off balances with a little misdirection off balance, then a really hard off balance. And again, it's different in a training room compared to competition. I'm sure in competition, he wouldn't chill around in leg lock positions. He'd balance once or twice, then he'd get the fuck out there or counter or try and pass the guard off of it. But in training, he's just practicing riding the position. So he's very good at, when he has connection, at riding the connection and not posting hands on the mat, etc. And he's also good at denying connection, and he mixes the two of them very well.
Sick.
That's how good he is.
Yeah, he was good.
And he's young as well as fuck, so
yeah, he's
fair play to him.
He's going to get better and better.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Bye.
There we have it, guys. Let's finish on that. Like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, do all that.
Bye. Also, subscribe to my Patreon. It is £15. You get to request techniques. I will be doing a breakdown of a match, probably the Shanjie match, as it's been highly requested. And yeah, techniques, sparring, what have you. Get on it, mate. It's worth it. 8 videos a month minimum, plus more.
Get on it, guys.
£15. It's better than whatever Fanatics shit. Also, buy my BJ Fanatics.
Yeah, obviously, get that too. Yeah. Guys, request podcast. I could say request podcast guests, but we're only doing in person guests. Yeah.
Yeah. Only in person.
Only in person. If there is some guests you want to get on, request them and then we can see about it. We can see about it, but it has to be in person. We're not doing Zoom.
Nah, Zoom is a bit dead, fam.
It's fucking shit.
Also, if they're across the globe, then it won't suit us time-wise. They have to be on our schedule.
We won't do Zoom full stop. It's got to be in person. But request them anyway, because we're going to be out in America.
America.
So yeah. Get them in. Like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, do all that. Buy our stuff. If you want to, yeah, there it is. That's it. See you later.
Let him know.